now, have you guessed where that marvellous piece of music came from? It was, in fact, from the film Ben-Hur. And it's the scene where the chariots enter the stadium, and it's just one of the Oscar-winning scores of our next guest on Around Midnight, and that's Miklos Rosa. He's one of the last surviving composers of the golden age of Hollywood, and if you read out his list of films which he wrote the music for, then it conjures up memories, I suppose, for anyone over the age of 40. Double Enmity, Spellbound, The Lost Weekend, The Four Feathers, The Thief of Baghdad, Quo Vadis, and of course, Ben-Hur. And he won Oscars, apart from Ben-Hur, for the score for A Double Life and also Spellbound. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Your book is called Double Life.
That's right.
Why did you choose that title?
Because my life was a double life. You see, I started out as a so-called symphony composer.
Yes.
And this is my whole training. And then I drifted into films when I was about 28 years old, here in London.
How did that happen?
Accidentally. Everything's accident in life. I was living in Paris, and I gave a concert of chamber music with Arthur Honegger, who was a friend of mine, his and mine.
Yeah.
And afterwards he said, we go out for dinner, because we have enough money left over for the dinner, but no red wine, please. So,
not enough money for that.
No, there was no money for that. So I finally asked him, I said, I know I am young, I'm practically unknown in Paris, but you're a great master, very well known. Is that all we can make on a concert? He said, yeah, that's all. I said, but how do you make a living? He said, I write music for films. I couldn't believe it. Arthur Honegger writes music, Aroa David, great oratorios. He said, you write foxtrots? I said, no, I don't write foxtrots. I write serious music. He said, in films? I don't believe it. He said, well, if you don't believe it, go to a film, Les Miserables. It's playing on the Grand Boulevard, and call me afterwards. Well, I was there 11 o'clock in the morning. I saw a wonderful film with great music by Honegger. It was not foxtrots, I can assure you.
And then you felt that your own particular tastes and talents could be...
I thought, this is it.
Yeah.
I called him and said, could I do the same? He said, I'm sure you could, but how? Anybody would ask you immediately, what films have you done before?
Yes.
You said, I wrote a symphony, I wrote a violin concerto. They're not interested. So I gave it up. Then I came to London to write a ballet for the Markova Dolin Company. Hungaria. Being a Hungarian, what else could I write?
Yes.
And French director Jacques Feder was in town, and I knew him very well. And his wife was Françoise Rosé, famous actress. And I called him, and he said, come over to my hotel right away, because I am in great trouble. It was the Splendid Hotel on Green Park. It's not there anymore. And I ran there. I said, what can I do for you? What's the matter? I said, these idiots don't understand my English and they don't talk French. I want to have my laundry by tomorrow morning. Well, I said, well, this is a great trouble. I fixed it in 5 minutes. He said, now we go out for dinner. I said, I'm sorry, I can't go out for dinner. My ballet just came back from Scotland and I have to go to see it. It was in the Duke of York. And could I come with you, he said? Yes. Well, anyway, he loved it. And afterwards, we went out to Qualino's, a nightclub. He ordered champagne, and it was great. Second bottle of champagne, and I don't drink. And the second bottle went down, and as every drop went down, my evaluation as a composer went up. And I became the greatest composer of the world at the end of it.
What a way to get high.
So I took him home to his hotel, and really yeah. It took some take him home. And he said, tomorrow you are having lunch with me. My wife is coming. I thought he's going to forget it, but he didn't. He called me 10 o'clock. We were 1 o'clock at the hotel. I was there, and he said, sit down. She's coming. She's a bit late. I didn't ask, who is she? How could you? It was 1 o'clock, 1:30, 2 o'clock, 2:30. Finally, a lady came, very elegant, with a beautiful hat, and a gentleman, her husband. And they were introduced Mr. and Mrs. Sieber, S-I-E-B-E-R. They both had German accent. And Mrs. Sieber sat on my right and Monsieur Feder on my left. And suddenly she turns to me and says, "Is my song ready?" I said, "What song?" She said, "Well, Monsieur Feder told me you were going to write a music for our film." I said, and suddenly I felt that Feder was pushing my left side. I said, "Oh, well, the song is, no, it's not quite ready, but I'm working on it, you see." And I turned to Feder and said, "Who is she?" And back came a sotto voce whisper, "You idiot, Marlene Dietrich."
Let's listen to some more music from the film Fedora. Music from the film Fedora and written by my guest this evening, Miklos Rosa. Hollywood, in all its extravagances, must have seemed like a very bizarre place to an East European arriving in all this kind of totally different environment.
Yes, it was. But of course, I went to Hollywood in 1940 because I was under contract to Cordo after this, because this film with Marlene Dietrich was for Cordo. And I stayed with him, not only because I was a Hungarian. He liked my music. And in 1939, we started The Thief of Baghdad with Sabu, could not fight. And we had to go to Hollywood in 1940 because there was no more money in England to finish it. And Korda took the key people, including myself. And I was on a contract to him for about 2 years. Yes, exactly, of the 42.
How did you find the lifestyle there in Hollywood?
Well, at that time, inasmuch as I had to work with the three quarters, it was the same as being in London, you know. Mm. But after they left, Alex left, he came back and was knighted, as you know. Then I was on my own. And this is another story.
You've seen some of the extravagances of Hollywood, even when your music has been previewed in the film. I was thinking of how you mentioned in the book what happened when the Lost Weekend was previewed.
Oh, yes. The Lost Weekend, I thought, was a great film. And there was a musical director who didn't believe in great music. And it was prepared for a preview, and they put temporary music in it, which they do in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it's, if you remember the film, it starts with the skyline of New York. And then the camera goes closer to a window, and Ray Milland, who play a part, fishes out a bottle of whiskey. And the music was New York music, which is Gershwin, with a xylophone, you know, and things like this, and comedy. And the public was expecting a gay comedy about a drunk. That's very funny. They laughed. Next seat, the chandeliers, there is hiding a bottle. They laughed again. And suddenly the whole film turned to be a drama. They didn't laugh anymore. They left.
What a disaster.
It was an absolute disaster. Billy Wilder, who was the director, was already gone. He was with the American forces in Europe, And Charlie Brackett was the producer, and I came in the morning, he was sitting nearly crying. Said, I thought we had a masterpiece. Said, Charlie, we do have a masterpiece, but the music was wrong.
Now, you say in the book that musically, the best score that you wrote in Hollywood was Spellbound, because Hitchcock wanted a big love theme for Gregory Peck and Ingrid Bergman.
Yes.
And in fact, you got an Oscar for it.
Yes,
but,
I did.
But Hitchcock didn't actually like it.
No, he didn't get an Oscar. He couldn't...
he didn't get an Oscar, and you did, and that's why
yes.
he didn't like it.
Well, he said that... he didn't say it to me. Anyway, when I got an Oscar, I got a telegram from Mr. Selznick, who was the producer, not from Mr. Hitchcock, not a word.
Is that right?
I never talked to him ever since. And there were big sequences... silent sequences where really the music took over. It had to take over.
Yes.
It was about amnesia, about paranoia, you know. It's only you can tell it with music, not with acting. He didn't like that.
You created, though, the musical standpoint of which marked itself on Hitchcock's films, the eerie effect, if you like, the creeping, tingling effect that's created by the right musical score at the right moment.
I think so. He didn't think so, I think. He thought I was taking away from his direction.
You've got no credit at all. Of all the directors you worked for, Minnelli and...
William Wyler.
Yeah. Of all of them, whom did you respect the most?
Billy Wilder, in his earliest days, was the most wonderful man. Full of ideas. Very artistic. We worked together on the piano. I played him everything, every sequence. He had something to say. And it was a great pleasure. It was also a pleasure to work with Minnelli.
The films that you wrote for and the scores that you wrote for all of them, of those, which was the film that you felt your music was just almost perfect for? Complete perfection?
Well, I think that I am the proudest of Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur, yeah. Why?
Because the whole subject matter was very close to my heart, and I had a great opportunity for drama, for recreation of the music of the early century, of everything. Vos Vadis was also a very important film from my point of view, but it was so badly dubbed that you could hardly hear the music, so I lost out.
Are you still working today?
Oh, yes, I always work. Since I was 7 years old, I am composing.
Thank you very, very much, Miklos Rosa, for joining us here this evening.
Great pleasure to be with you.